The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Believe You Me podcast. I am alive. Mike Harrington is alive. Brian, are you alive?
Oh, hello.
Hello. There we are. Barely alive. The reason I say that, everybody, and I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, by the way, and apologies for missing Monday's show. But Harrington, we spoke about this on when we did the show last week. You and your lady, you came down with coronavirus. Callum went off to a wrestling tournament right before Christmas and caught the coronavirus. You know, he tested positive and we're like, oh, okay, well, let's stay away. You quarantine in your room. Sure enough, you know, we're all living in the same house. Lo and behold, boom. Yep, last few days, me and Rebecca have been feeling like shit. Led in bed, aches all over. My back was killing. Rebecca's throwing up. I haven't been throwing up. The nausea's been there. Headaches, just fatigue, laziness, just giving me an excuse to sit around and do fuck all, which is what I like. So how are you doing, Harrington? How are you feeling?
Dude, it's just it's the brain fog more than anything, you know? Like, I can't keep a thought together more than, like, you know, the third step in the thought equation. It just, the train completely goes off the tracks, and it is what it is. But, I mean, it's perfect for that time between Christmas and New Year's, you know?
Well, you're not supposed to do anything. Fog. You can't have a clear thought. So, okay, you got the Rona. What about the rest of the time, Harrison? You set me up for that one. So fucking good. I'm like, you can't move on from that one, buddy. No way. No, you're absolutely right. What did he say? I missed it.
He co-signed it.
Yeah, of course. No, but here's the funny thing. We did our COVID test and we came back negative. Negative. Oh. But there's no fucking way we're negative. Lucas came positive. Callum was positive. Rebecca and I were negative. But we've been the worst. We have by far been the worst. Like, I'm starting to sweat now. I've got ibuprofen on hand. I've got a beer to get me through this because, fear not, the number one MMA comedy podcast is going fucking nowhere.
I'm
rounding out the new year in style. But how was your Christmas day?
I mean, so here's the thing, like, you're at least lucky that you and Rebecca are both, you know, coming up negative. I came up positive. My girlfriend still has not tested positive for this, so we tried our best to, like, quarantine and, like, stay separated, so I didn't really see much of anyone on Christmas. I've been, like, in this room just sleeping on this couch for a week now. It's kind of rough.
Again, much like the rest of your life.
Okay. Right. Yep.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, no. As I say, we tested negative, but we've been trying to do another test because we know we're positive. There's no fucking way. I mean, yeah, okay, it could be a regular old-fashioned illness. You know what I mean? That's what I put on Twitter the other day. But with the kids being positive and with it going around everywhere, I would assume it is. But people don't want to hear too much about the fucking coronavirus. Fortunately, Christmas Day, we felt good. We had a nice, lovely day. Hope everyone did. Hope everyone listening had a joyous time with their loved ones. But it is the end of the year. That means at the end of this show, we're going to give some nominations for the best fight of the year, fighter, male and female, submission, knockout, all that good stuff. We'll do that at the end. We're going to put out a Twitter poll, so we want to hear from you guys. So the fans decide on this podcast. You know what I mean? We don't sit here on our lofty perch saying that we call it how it is. We let the believers decide, Harrington.
Yeah, I mean, you know, leave it up to the supporters. It's, you know, they're the reason that we're here. They're the reason that we're doing this show. So I think they should have a say for the end of the year awards for who this show deems as the best fighter, best knockout, best submission, and, you know, of course, all the fun categories.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting there saying at least Christmas was good. I wasn't good. I just remembered it. I felt terrible because Rebecca cooked a wonderful meal. right? She did, you know, we did a roast beef. She did Yorkshire. It's a little bit different, like an English style, Yorkshire puddings, all that stuff. All the pigs in blankets and whatnot. Blah, 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 blah. I carved up the beef like a real man, you know what I mean? Carved up the beef. We served it all up. We sat there, had a big plate of food. I must have had 2 forkfuls. Seriously, I must have had, and I felt so bad on Beck. Do you know what I mean? Because she fucking slaved away. I even took a nap on the couch while she was doing it. You know what I mean? Christmas Day nap. We've got to get them in. You know, I've spent all morning assembling toys. Well, that was in the old school days. Now it's fucking, it's a piece of piss. Luke has got a phone. No assembly required. But naps still included. You know, so I took a nap.
No assembly by you, but the 8-year-old boy in China that put it together would disagree. There was quite a bit of assembly.
Yeah. We're not joking about Chinese sweatshops at Christmas, okay? Have a bit of fucking Christmas cheer, Harrington.
I'm sorry, Cambodian sweatshop.
Oh, that's okay. Jeez Louise. I believe Dana White was spreading a bit of festive cheer. I never saw this, but I saw you put it in the notes. Pray tell, let me know.
He was. So the bald one did the right thing by Christmas cheer.
Call him the bald one? That's my boss. That's a friend of mine. That's a guy I have tremendous respect for. I know I'm not being a dick sucker before you all start. He's been a good friend to me. Dana White Jr. is his name.
I didn't know he was a junior.
He's the lifeblood of mixed martial arts, created this industry for many people, and you refer to him as the bald one.
Okay, Shane. Okay, think about it like this, right? How many fighters, how many promoters, managers, people have we seen with a completely shaved head in the UFC? When I say the words "the bald one," you know exactly who I'm talking about. It is a term of endearment and respect to the great Dana White.
Well, today is the 15-year anniversary of my first ever fight in the UFC. Go to my YouTube page because I've done a big video about that, walking down the streets of Las Vegas outside the MGM Grand. I was also bald back then. When you said the bald one, that's a very generic term. You know, that could mean Jeff Bezos. It could mean cancer patients. Do you know what I mean? It could mean a lot of people, you know, going for that stylistic look.
Well, it's certainly, you know, that is a shout out to Eugene S. Robinson, somebody who, you know, I have listened to and enjoyed in talking about this sport for many a year. That's how he refers to Dana White, and it always is where my brain defaults to.
No, I know.
Yeah, so Dana White was at Albertsons, the grocery store, you know, for Christmas, spreading a little bit of holiday cheer. As people were coming up with their groceries, Dana said, "Put it on my car, baby."
Which is amazing. Right? That's so kind of him, and it's incredible. And I want to talk about that. I do. But I have more questions, but nothing to do with the act of buying everyone's gift. Dana shops at Albertsons? Do you know what I mean? I find that mind-blowing. I would have thought it would be a Whole Foods guy for sure, right? Secondly, I can't imagine Dana going to do the grocery shop. I mean, I very rarely grace the supermarkets with Rebecca. A man of my stature can't be seen out doing these mundane, day-to-day, menial tasks, grocery shopping. I can't imagine the great Dana White does. And the reason I said that is because what was I talking about? I was talking about this yesterday to Beck. I was saying, what was it? Well, I was like, famous people. I was talking about the president. I don't know why the Joe Biden was on doing one of his bloody chatting about the coronavirus and whatnot. And I was just thinking about his clothing. And I thought, I bet you don't see the president go clothes shopping. I said, yeah, probably when you get sworn in at the Oval Office, they take your measurements, they do your bunch of suits, they give you slacks, they give you shoes. They, you know, because the president can't be out and about fucking, I'm just going to nip down the mall and buy some pants.
So, like, I remember hearing about this with Michael Jackson in, like, the early 90s. If he wanted to go to the mall, he would, like, call ahead, and they would literally shut it down for, like, 2 hours. He would get to show up, like, hours before everyone else, and he would get to go to whatever store he wanted to, and he paid, you know, whatever the fee was to the other shops in the mall to shut everything down. But it's like, that's what you have to do when you reach a certain level of celebrity. So
No, exactly. So that's what we were talking about. And then, funnily enough, you mentioned Dana White being in Albertsons. You know, I know Dana White's not Michael Jackson, but he's a very well-known person, very famous man and very wealthy individual. As I say, picking up some potatoes and a bit of dog food down at the local Albertsons isn't the Dana White that I know. Anyway, that aside, so basically he went in and he just paid everyone's check. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool of him. And I think, like, you know, the you know, you talk about a Whole Foods man. I mean, we're talking, he's friends with former, you know, President 45, right? Like, he is a man of the people. So, of course, like, the hoity-toity, you know, Whole Foods and all those places, that's not really Dana White's cup of tea. He's a man of the people. He should be at Albertsons. And I think, you know, it's a cool thing for him to be giving back around the holiday time.
You are twisting my words. I said there's nothing wrong with Albertsons. And he is a man of the fucking people. What are you doing? You start off calling him the bold one. We're talking far too much about Dana because something's going to come out offensive at some point, which is not the the idea. Merry Christmas, Dana White. If on a 0.5% chance you are seeing this, hope you will, my friend. Hope you had a great Christmas. Brian, I saw you were going to put up a little video before, but then it came down. Do we have video of this?
So... I don't think it's video. I think it's just a still image of Dana looking very upset in the Albertsons, but he was saying for people stuff.
No, it is though. It is though. It's lovely to do that. You know what I mean? And you know, and to some people, you know, it's just a little thing, but it can make all the difference. You know, remember that show I did, Hyperdrive? Here's me bigging myself up now, but it wasn't me. When I did that show, Hyperdrive, Rutledge, what's his last name? Oh my God, I feel terrible. Rutledge, he's a host of Top Gear out here. Rutledge Wood? I think it's Rutledge Wood. One of the nicest guys you will ever meet.
Yeah, Rutledge Wood.
Yeah, Rutledge Wood. Shout out Rutledge. What a great guy he is, by the way. But we were going to set one day, and we pulled up. We just ran into, it was a supermarket, probably in Albertsons, just to grab a couple of snacks throughout the day while we were there. Do you know what I mean? I think I might have actually picked up a little half a bottle of brandy for when we finished at 6 a.m. I think that was the reason we went in. And there was a lady there who looked like she'd seen, you know, she looked like she was on hard times. And he just did that of his own accord. He said, you know what? I got this. And she was like all taken aback. She had like six kids with her, do you know what I mean? Big pile of food. And I just thought, wow, what a lovely thing to do. What a lovely thing to do. I paid for my whiskey and off we went. I can't pay for there was no one else to pay for. And it's weird. If I start going, do you know what? I'm going to do that. Everybody, shopping's on me.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, well, it sets a bad precedent once the first guy does it, right? Because it's like, you know, if you think about it, this mother, she's got six kids to feed. She's going to be putting the groceries that she needs for these people. And somebody comes along and pays for it, and that's very nice. Now, if you were to break out the card and be like, all right, I'm next, somebody's going to go and try to stunt on you and get like, all right, I'm going to get 9 filet mignons. And really, I feel like people would take advantage of that.
Yeah, throw a couple of bottles of champagne in the car and whatnot. But then also, you've got some people that might be like, yo, what the fuck? I don't need your charity. It's my ass. You know, I'd say, whoa, relax, buddy. Try to be nice. I tell you who's not, by all accounts, having a very good Christmas or feeling the Christmas cheer, according to your notes, and not only your notes, Harrington, and well done, by the way, every week. And you, of course, Brian. Jake Paul. Jake Paul, by all accounts, the second fight. Now, give me some clarification on this, because I see that terrestrial buys were at 65,000 buys, which is low, right? It is low, and I'm sure that's disappointing for everybody involved, Tyron, Jake, everybody, the whole Showtime, everything. But then it said, but there is digital sales to come in afterwards, right? So I would have thought, given the generation and the fan base that Jake Paul appeals to, that maybe there would be a lot of digital sales come in, but no.
Well, yes and no. So the thing with the terrestrial numbers is we know a couple of facts here, right? AEW, which is a wrestling promotion, they did a pay-per-view on the same night. They came in at 65,000 pay-per-view buys. Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley 2 was below them. So we know that whatever their number was, it was not 65,000. And then, yeah, you are correct. That is only the terrestrial pay-per-view buys. So the digital still needs to come in. Now, Jake Paul is claiming that number is going to be close to 500,000. Every reasonable prognosticator is saying that it's still going to come in at under 100,000 total pay-per-view buys for the event. Because if you think about something like that, yes, you do have a chance to buy it digitally, and that does open it up to quite a few more people. But most of the people who are buying this pay-per-view are 13, 14-year-old kids who ask their parents to buy it on pay-per-view like any other thing. And that's where the majority of those sales came from. So, you know, that 65,000 number or the under 65,000 number is most likely the lion's share of the pay-per-view buys.
Interesting. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to kick a man while he's down. But it is that's disappointing for everybody involved. To be honest, I'm not overly surprised because the first fight sucked. Let's be honest. First fight sucked. It was a split decision. It was a rematch that I don't think anyone was crying for. You know what I mean? Nobody was like chomping at the bit to see a rematch in that. It wasn't a classic fight. It wasn't all-out violence from start to finish with an incredible display of courage and skill and heart and determination.
I would disagree, Mike. Tyron Woodley was definitely looking forward to that rematch.
Oh, yeah.
The one man.
Ryan with the one-liners every single time. Yeah. No, you're right. But you know, nobody was clamoring for it. But still, you never know. Just to give some context, and I don't believe I'm breaking protocol here or telling any trade secrets because I've seen a lot of stories about this on MMA websites and stuff. Generally, the way it's structured for most people in the UFC, there's a threshold. And most boxing fights and things like that, there's a threshold you have to attain before you start getting the cut of the pay-per-view. And that's 200,000 buys, you know. So then from there, I think that's common knowledge. It is common knowledge. So in that scenario there, they didn't even come close to that. And it's funny because he's out there and he's talking all this big money. And I saw, I think it was a tweet or something, or maybe it was a story made out of one of Jorge Masvidal's tweets. He was like, something along the lines of, I don't know if you saw it, never mention my fucking name. You're out here talking all this big money. You're talking these big numbers and you can't pull shit. Do you have that tweet or do you know what that is, what I'm referring to? And he's got a point. He's got a point. Although, as I say, in not that I need to come to the defense of Jake Paul, I think if it was a different opponent and it wasn't Tyron Woodley again, and again, I'm not knocking Tyron Woodley, it's just the first fight kind of sucked. First fight did great because there was anticipation. Second fight, there's no market for that. Do you know what I mean? Had it been a Masvidal or a Nate Diaz, or let's just say somebody that's not fucking contracted to the UFC and it could actually happen, then maybe they could pull some decent numbers.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did blame part of it in, on first and foremost, Tommy Fury not really holding up his end of the promotion when he was signed on to be the other fighter. And then obviously, Tommy Fury pulling out, he said that those two factors really did hurt that number. And it's not a mark on Jake Straw. I mean, devil's avocado here.
Devil's avocado all day. We haven't dropped it for a while.
So if you. Heading into that Tyron Woodley fight, right? Like the numbers were significantly better for the first one than the second one because he was coming off of a devastating knockout of Ben Askren that we all saw. And that's an image that's implanted in our brains. And it's like, all right, I want to see what this guy does next. Coming into this off of a split decision against Tyron Woodley the first time, that's certainly going to sour things. You know, is his draw significantly better if he has that one punch KO, the meme to go with it to bolster heading into the last pay per view or heading into the next pay per view?
Violence sells, finishes sells, knockout sells, sell. That's what people want to see ultimately. You know, people are sick folks. We want to see a great display of martial arts. We want to see a great display of box, you know, whatever it is. And we admire the technique and we admire the bravery. But ultimately, the finishes are what people want to see. And it was a lackluster fight, but in the end, everybody got what they wanted to see apart from Tyron Woodley. So, there we go. Unlucky. But you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean that that's like the end of the road for Jake Paul. Not every event that you're going to be a part of is going to knock it out of the park. Not every single one's going to be a record breaker. You know, all right, fair enough. McGregor is kind of like the golden goose when it comes to that, or maybe a Brock Lesnar. There's a few people, you know what I mean? Even Floyd Mayweather, I think he had some bad ones, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had a couple that did like a couple of 100,000 buys, you know, towards the end of his career, I think, when he was fighting a couple of people. Just look that up on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. If I remember rightly, yeah, Floyd Money Mayweather wasn't pulling too greatly.
So the Berto fight, which I believe was the last one before his retirement, was around 400,000, which was the lowest he did for almost a decade before that. So,
all right. You know what? 400,000 is still a respectable number. It's not gangbusters. It's not crazy. It's probably disappointing to Mayweather. But still, it's a better than 65.
When you're coming off of 4.2 million or whatever the Pacquiao fight was, the Berto fight being a fight or two later, going down to 400,000 is it's kind of rough.
A little bit of a drop, 10%. It's 10%.
Like McGregor, I think, you know, his biggest was the Khabib fight, like the 2.2 or whatever that was. And then, you know, the next fight out with Cerrone at least did half of that, you know? So the drop off was not nearly as massive.
All right. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel that there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, then you definitely need to check out BetterHelp. Look, listen, mental health has never had such a spotlight on it than it does right now. And that's for good reason. You know, everyone is going through something. There's always that little internal dialogue. There's that self-doubt. Maybe you've got anger issues. Maybe it's substance abuse. Who knows what it is? What I do know is that speaking to a professional will definitely help. So whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Financial aid is available and it is easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in just under 48 hours. And this is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapy. I'll do that bit again. It's not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. End of the day, listen, if you're not vibing with your counselor, you're just not getting on. That's just the way it is sometimes. As I just said, switch it up, get a different one, try someone new. You can send a message to that counselor anytime you want and you will get timely and thoughtful responses. So if you're having a bad day, if you're struggling with something, shoot out a message. You're going to get some feedback, some response, some advice. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So it's the perfect way to do therapy through a pandemic. Plus, you won't have to go sitting in uncomfortable waiting rooms in the future. So right now, go to betterhelp.com, B-E-T-T-E-R, help, betterhelp.com/believe to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many have been using BetterHelp, they are now recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So go to betterhelp.com. That's B-E-T-T-E-R-H-E-L-P. betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/believe. 10% off your first month. All right, good luck. Where were we?
Real quick about Floyd Mayweather, though. Now you bring him up. I just saw this today, and we didn't talk about this pre-show.
No, I have no idea. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Harrington's going rogue. He's going rogue right now. We haven't discussed any of this. The Jake Paul combo has gone on far too long already, but you make some good points. You make some intelligent points. I'm allowing it, but now you're going off on a fucking Floyd Mayweather tangent. Where is this going? Who is steering this ship? Is this my podcast or your podcast? What is going on? Make your point. Make it well.
Logan, the other Paul brother, says that he hasn't been paid from the Mayweather fight.
Oh, are you serious?
Dude, he posted an Instagram story of Floyd out in the cold in like trunks, and he called him a corny weasel bitch and said pay him his money. You know, so
Hold on. Logan posted a picture of Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, I'm going to look for it right now.
Yeah, I need to see this picture. Doing what?
He's standing outside in the snow in like trunks and a furry coat. I'm going to send this to Brian right now so that he can bring it up on the screen.
Yeah, no, please, I want to see this. Because this is hilarious. Because didn't we watch that fight at my house?
We all did.
Together? So that was like what? June?
August? Yeah, July, maybe July.
July. So that's like a good five months away.
Spend some time.
I mean, to be honest, payments from pay-per-view does take a long time. It does. You know, I didn't have a long reign as champion, but, you know, I did have one, so I have a little bit of experience with it. Typically, the way it goes, you know, I think I was still getting checks for pay-per-view events. Oh, my God. Pay me my money, you fucking corny weasel of a human. Where's that picture came from? Put that back on. That's the thumbnail. Thumbnail for today's fucking show. That is amazing. Yeah, we just need me and Harrington on there somewhere. You know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll do us in the background. Yeah,
that's us in the background. Oh, my God. And then Dana White, Payne Albertson's in the background somewhere. Okay, now pay me my money. What did he call it? Something weasel?
Corny weasel.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. So I was saying, yeah, so the pay-per-view stuff, it does take a while. I'm assuming he's show money. And again, assumption, I know nothing. But one would assume that he got paid his show money on the night. Generally, that's what happens. And Logan Paul, not talking shit, but he's probably not experienced with these matters. It does take a while. I remember for the George St. Pierre fight, I was still getting decent checks almost 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
I was devastated when they stopped coming in now. They start off big, and I'm like, ooh. And then the next one, they incrementally get smaller. Do you know what I mean? And
right.
I'm like, that was huge. I'm like, oh, my God. And then the next one, that's amazing. And I'm like, that's a really good check. I'm like, yeah, that's good. Huh, disappointing. And then by the end, you're getting like, seriously, like, 73 cents. You know,
UFC
what I mean?
Fight
that's
Pass royalties.
Yeah. Down to. It's like my residual checks that I get for a bit of acting that I do. You know, sometimes, you know, like Triple X or something like that, you might get, excuse me,
whoa.
You might get like, you know, a few $100. You get some that are literally 0.27 cents. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like it costs more money to put it in the fucking mail and post it to my house than it does. And then no one's going to go down the bank and pay that in. But I guess technically they have to send it through.
It's direct deposit at this point. Like, why are we wasting the money, the paper, the accounting? It would seem that, you know, somebody would figure this out and just, you know, come up with that system. And then they'd be driving a Bentley for the rest of their life because they figured this out.
Give me my fucking 0.27 cents. You
know how many people are driving Bentleys?
Weasel of a human fucking being. Go on, what's that, Brian?
There's more people driving Bentleys because of that system than there is if you were to implement a new thing. But that's for my other show.
Oh, okay. What's the other show, Brian?
Part of the problem, it's all about libertarian politics and yelling about the government spending. So,
yeah. Okay, well, check that out, guys. If that floats your boat, check out Brian's other podcast. Where were we?
We were talking about Logan. We were talking about Jake. Yeah. We were also talking about Tyron Woodley, another guy who's looking to fight Tyron Woodley. One, Mr. Hector Lombard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen that. Yeah.
Kind of a touchy subject.
Say again?
Kind of a touchy subject on that one.
Well, it goes back a long time, doesn't it? I think even before the first Jake Paul fight, right? Because were they at a bare knuckle? In fact, do we have video of that? Can we find that video? Because the video, didn't he get into like some kind of scuffle at a bare knuckle fight? I believe something like that. Or, no, Tyron was standing there and Lombard got right in his face, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Lombard got in his face and was like, and maybe I'm remembering this wrong, pointing the finger and like being aggressive. And then Woodley just kind of remained stoic. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but... I mean, it looks like everyone's going to call out Tyron Woodley now and Hector Lombard in bare knuckle FC. Because didn't Tyron say he wants to do four fights? Oh, here it is. Let's take a look. I want the smoke.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about doing it. He tried to get the BKFC president to sign the deal right there.
Yep, exactly. I tell you, Lombard, Lombard's a crazy man. I used to have run-ins with him back in the day. Fortunately, I don't bump into him these days because I'm too old and I can't be arsed with that stuff. I like a nice, quiet life now. If I'm fucking out and about and Lombard's getting in my face again, oh, God, come on, give me a break, buddy. I'm just trying to have a beer in peace and recover from the fucking coronavirus. Leave me alone.
There, I mean, that is like a, you know, that is obviously, it's a touchy subject and, you know, the far be it from me to get into the politics of different people's love lives. But it is like weird whenever you mention the words, yo, you're coming after my side chick. It's like, are we really, you're going to go politicking? You're going to bring in the bro code over the extra girl? That seems a little.
Yeah. Well, hey. None of my business. I'm not discussing it. I tell you who's not feeling festive cheer. John Jones. John Jones and Dan Hooker, they have been quite entertaining on Twitter. It's a little bit old hat now because this was for Monday's show, but of course we were all on death's door. But let's have a look.
Hat, I'm in a Christmas hat.
Yeah, well, you are in a Christmas hat. You're in a I don't know how to describe that hat. It's a green, festive-looking shamrock, Irish, St. Paddy's Day, Christmas Day headdress.
I've been called a Mad Paddy Elf, which I really enjoy. This is, to remind me to shout out just real quick, Irish Sam, a massive supporter of the Believe You Me podcast.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? Brian's shouting out his political podcast. You're shouting out other people's. You're taking the show. Am I being phased out of my own fucking podcast? Soon, this time next month, I'll be popping in and out like Brian.
Okay.
Hey. No, go on. Break it down. John Jones and Dan Hooker. How did this all start? Because I know Jones has been, he's been, shall we say, venting on Twitter lately, which isn't a good look for him. John has done some amazing things inside the octagon, and he's done some terrible things outside the octagon. Let's be honest, that's just a reality. And I see John, I like him, and I shake his hand, but there's certain behavior that can't be excused, and I'm sure that he knows that above everybody else, And I'm not, but he's been now getting on Twitter, and he's, starting fights with everybody, including Dan Hooker recently. And I think this stems back to his rivalry with Izzy, right?
So it started with the Chael Sonnen tweet, right? So if you remember John Jones, he was not trying to throw any shade at Chael Sonnen, because that's below John Jones, right? He wouldn't make fun of a guy. So, he would never stoop to that level.
Yeah. Hell of an American. Why would he throw shade at Chael Sonnen? No, come on. So give us the background.
There's one thing John Jones is known for. It's taking the high road. So he certainly did that in the Chael Sonnen situation. Said he wasn't going to weigh in on Chael Sonnen, having issues with assault and battery and run-ins with the police in due to that Las Vegas hotel thing that we talked about a couple shows ago, right? Dan Hooker then jumped in and was like, it's a very different thing, right? Okay, here we go. Brendan Schaub.
So Brendan Schaub, on Chael Sonnen's misdemeanor citations, he was protecting his wife, unlike John Jones. And then Dan Hooker comes on and says, imagine beating up five people, not one of them is your wife. Ooh, hey, listen, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen in this day and age. When you act like that, then people are going to remind you of it, And when you make mistakes, people are going to throw them in your face. And it's not a mistake. It's shameful fucking behavior. You know what I mean? We don't know the full details, but if the common belief is true, then it's despicable. Simple. And there's zero fucking excuse.
Well, he kept piling on. The Dan Hooker was not, one to go away. John Jones did try to fire back.
Yeah, so I'll read this out for the audio only listeners. So Jones fires back. Every opportunity you've had to make a name for yourself and be closer to your boy Izzy, you dropped the ball. You can't achieve greatness, so you hop online and attack someone who has. Sounds about right. Feel like it was Jones that made the first move. Then Dan Hooker comes back and says, I was triggered by your disingenuous attempt to bring attention to Chael's situation. He was arrested for defending his wife. You were arrested for assaulting yours. Ooh, and then we got one more.
10-8.
Life hack. If you don't beat up your wife, family events will be more enjoyable. Merry Christmas, bitch. I mean, that's a fucking 10-8, let's be honest. Maybe even 10-7. We don't get them very often in MMA. And if I say a 10-8 on fucking commentary, Twitter loses their fucking mind, even though they don't know how to score a 10-8. But that might be a 10-7.
That was pretty rough.
More wins in heavyweight in combat sports than Jones does. It's true.
That is true.
I think one of his first fights was against a heavyweight. But there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Amateur, all right, well, listen, let's not make enemies of one of the most dangerous men on the planet. Do you know what I mean? That's not what we're here to do. Not that I'm scared. Right, what else have we got? What else have we got? By the way, what are you doing New Year's Eve? We will be doing nothing because we're all infected. I'm sitting here sweating still. I've got sweat pouring out of me. But I'm also cold at the same time. Lovely feeling. We're doing nothing. So there's that. What are you doing?
Well, I got the I saw the CDC recommendation says it's 5 days now. So, you know, I do have a comedy.
Whoa. I don't want to get into this. 5 days if you're asymptomatic.
I mean, I'm pretty asymptomatic.
Not what you said at the top of the show, but continue. Well,
all right. I mean, the brain fog, like you said, it's pretty asymptomatic of COVID, right, and that's just Harrington.
That's a permanent fixture then.
Right. So I do have my comedy club that I run. So most likely I'm going to be there just running the show that night and waiting
killing
for
all your clients
to make a sound.
Nice. Good on
you.
Good on
that's
you.
The goal.
A bit of festive run. What about you, Brian? New Year's Eve? What's going on with Brian McKay?
So my brother and his new girl were supposed to come up for Christmas, but they also got the Rona. But they're coming up for New Year's. So that's what we're doing.
Nice. Well, enjoy, man. Enjoy. The good news is, last thing on the Rona, they're saying, I was reading a long article about it last night, with this Omicron being so rampant and so infectious and everybody seems like every man and their dog's almost getting it. And then with a lot of people being vaccinated, it's going to get really bad. But then it's going to taper down, and hopefully this could be not a thing of the past, because I don't think it'll ever be a fully thing of the past, but it'll be like kind of, you know, almost
like how Spanish
we can have our
influenza
fucking normal
became
lives
the
back,
flu.
Hopefully, I swear to God, I hope so. 2022, please, come on. By March, I'd say, please, I just want to have a normal life. Anyway, what's going on? What am I doing New Year's Eve? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. We'll try and make it nice. We'll cook a nice meal, something like that. I don't know. We never do anything on New Year's Eve. I don't think I've ever done anything special on New Year's Eve. Rebecca doesn't like to leave the house.
Nope.
And certainly now she's probably on her knees right now, throwing up into the toilet bowl. Lovely image I painted of my wife there, but that has been her life the last few days. But yeah, she doesn't like to go out. She doesn't like to go to parties. A restaurant, yeah, she'll go to a nice restaurant. But even that, on New Year's Eve, she says, no, I don't want to do it on New Year's Eve because it's going to be packed out. It's going to be a pain in the ass. It's a set menu. Do you know what I mean? It's overly expensive. Cabs these days, Ubers, everything, you know, it was not that she's bothered so much about the money. We can afford that, but she's like, the whole thing's just a pain in the ass. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of get it. It kind of is a pain in the ass, but also at the same time, can't be a miserable bastard. Do you know what I mean? We got to get amongst it, but still, we'll be enjoying from home. Today's episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. You know the deal. Blue Chew is an online unique service that delivers the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in chewable form. What are we talking about? We're talking about a performance enhancement for the bedroom, okay? It's an online prescription service. So, by the way, you'd have to go to the doctor. There's no awkward conversations. There's no picking it up from the pharmacy where the woman looks at you at the side of her eye and goes, this guy can definitely not get it up. There's none of that. It's eradicated. But listen, if we're looking at one man that needs a little bit of enhancement for the bedroom, and one man that needs a bit of testosterone boost, and one guy that needs a little bit of steroids for the bedroom, Mike Harrington, you love this. Ever since you started using Blue Chew, you're like Vitor Belfort of MMA to the sex world.
Yeah, I've nicknamed my penis TRT Tor, and it's dead in the... doing the right thing by me, you know, especially in this time, you know, recovering from the COVID thing. Every single aspect of my body is sluggish, lethargic, except for one, thanks to BlueChew.com.
That's far too graphic. Everybody is sluggish and out of shape, but you're walking around, you're taking people's eyes out with that goddamn thing. By the way, side note, erections will not last so long that it causes problems. But you love this, Harrington.
Dude, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's chewable. It, you know, the absolutely no. You know, you mentioned it. No waiting at the doctor's office. No waiting, telling people at the pharmacy. It gets shipped in discreet packaging, and it's chewable. You know, you don't have to chew, you don't have to swallow your pills anymore. I ain't worried about that. Blue, you got a little bit of blue paste, and all of a sudden, bang, you're good to go.
Boom, boom, boom. And when the mood gets blue, you're ready to do. And you can just chew it and do it. Boom, bada, boom, 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 boom. Listen, end of the day, you just go online. Right, go to bluechew.com, use the code BELIEVE, gonna give you your first month for free, right? If you feel you want a little help in that area, Blue Chew's got you covered. If you feel that you are lacking in that area, Blue Chew's got you covered. If you just want to have a good time, you just want to experience with it and say, hold on, I'm already a bloody sexual Tyrannosaurus, but I just want to feel what it's like. You don't have to go to a doctor. You don't have to do none of that. You just go to bluechew.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. We're going to give you your first month for free. Okay, you just got to pay the shipping. Sorry. We're not going to ship your sex pills across the world for free. We'll give them to you for free for a month. Okay, but you got to pay the postman.
This isn't a royalty check. You got to pay for your shipping.
We're not running a charity here. Okay, we'll give you the first month for free. We'll give you long lasting and wholesome erections for free. But to receive it, you got to pay the postman. You got a problem with that? Speak to the president. Okay, I stay out of that business. But seriously, bluechew.com is the website. Believe is the code if you want to get your first month for free. Thank you very much, bluechew.com, for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, where were we? All right, MMA news. What do we have, Harrington? Anything to discuss? I mean, I know there is. I've seen the notes. Throw them at me.
All right. Okay, this is kind of a fun one. We might have a possible opponent. For one, Paddy the Batty Pimblett.
See this.
Yeah. So our boy, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, he was working on a movie with Chael Sonnen. Chael related the story. I'm sitting with Cowboy in between takes. Cowboy had told me 2 days ago I'm fighting March 5th. And he says, yeah, what do you know about this Pimblum Paddy Pavly Paddy guy? I said, you're talking about Paddy the Batty? So he brings up Paddy. Paddy's at 155. Cowboy starts saying, yeah, I think this is my guy. I told Cowboy that's exactly the kind of fight Dane is looking for. The old dog goes against the shiny new trinket.
Yeah, the shiny new trinket. And I guess he is round, shiny and round trinket. yeah, because it's one of those, they call it the passing of the guard fights. If Paddy was to go out there and beat him, I think it makes sense because what they're trying to do is build Paddy for obvious reasons. He's made a hell of an impression in one fight. Excuse me. I think he's one of the biggest rising stars of 2021. I think that's without a shadow of a doubt. He had a great debut, put on a great performance, got a knockout. And then, of course, he's got charisma. He's got tremendous charisma. The man can fight as well. And Darren Till, as you know, he struggled a bit lately. You know, he'll find his form again. But
so did Donald Cerrone just give himself up for sacrifice? Is that what happened?
Well, this is where we're going with this, Brian. This is where we're going because I don't know. You careful what you wish for, because of course you want to build Paddy, right? You do. If you know, of course you've got to win fights. Dana can't do that for you, but he can give you not smart fights. It's like I'm saying, they're giving him gimme fights. Donald Cerrone is not a fucking gimme fight for anyone. But it's also fair to say that Donald Cerrone has got to be at the end of his career. And I would say that 2022, if we're making predictions for things that happen next year, I would like to say that it's the year that Donald Cerrone retires. He's got nothing left to prove or to give to this sport. He's had a tremendous career. He's given us hours of entertainment over the years, tremendous knockouts, some great wars, you know. But everyone has, you know, they're used by date. And I'm not saying he's there because I'm respectful, but he's probably fucking past it. Let's be honest, right? So, excuse me. Excuse me. And then for Paddy to go in there, and it is kind of like what with Darren Till, right? That was Darren's big breakout fight, wasn't it? He beat Donald Cerrone. All of a sudden, people were like, oh, shit. Now, granted, this is a different Donald Cerrone to the one that Paddy beat because that was a few years ago. But still, with the same kind of formula and recipe applies. People tune in to watch Paddy. They tune in to watch Donald Cerrone. They get hyped for it. If Paddy goes out there and beats him, all of a sudden, whoa, people are taking Paddy even more seriously. His stars got even brighter. Pay-per-view sale generation potential increases, et cetera, et cetera. But as I said, as I was just saying to Brian, be careful. It's still Donald Cerrone, you know what I mean? And I know he's been staying sharp. He's been doing a lot of grappling stuff recently, you know? And yes, the chin is probably a little suspect at this point, you know? And I'll say that with respect, and I mean that. And if he sees this, I hope he doesn't take offense to that. It's just what fucking happens in combat sports. But you can never count him out. No fucking way. He's a real fighter. Just ask Alexander Hernandez. Remember that kid? He came out and he was talking a lot of shit, and he was Alexander the Great, and he is great. He's fucking awesome. And I actually feared for Donald in that fight. I thought, all right, going up against this young kid, this kid's going to, you know, he's going to make a mockery of him because he's young, he's explosive, he's fast, he's good. But Donald fucking pieced him up, and I think he got a finish, didn't he, if I remember rightly. And that was then, that was the first ever fight in Brooklyn on ESPN 2019. Twas there. Yeah, I remember that. You know, come on.
Pretty fun card.
Pardon me?
I said that was a pretty fun card.
TJ Dillashaw versus Henry Cejudo in the main event. And we all saw how that ended. So it's a good fight for both guys, you know, probably.
And I mean, if you look at Cowboy here, it's like, yeah, sure, he's 0-5-1 with a no contest for the Nico Price fight, which was initially a draw. But I mean, the names here, right? We have a TKO at the hands of Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, Conor McGregor, and Alex Morono. You know, and then Tough went to the distance with Nico Price and Anthony Pettis. Not a single one of those fights is a walk in the park. And I think it's fair to say each one of those men has done significantly more in their UFC career so far than Paddy Pimblett has. So, you know, this is a massive step up for Paddy.
No, that is a very valid point you made there. They've all had tremendous careers. But one thing worth mentioning is how quickly they finished Cerrone. You know, Conor was like 40 seconds. Morono, I believe, was the end of the first round. Who else? Gaethje. What was that? Gaethje?
Gaethje was the end of the first as well.
Yeah.
And then what about Tony Ferguson?
Second round, I believe.
He got the doctor stoppage because of the eye.
Yeah, that's right. His eye
he had the broken nose, then he blew out and his eye
but still,
exploded.
The fact remains that they're all top of the food chain guys.
Yeah.
Top of the fucking food chain. We ain't talking no schmoes here. Do you know what I mean? So listen. March 5th as well, the same, right? So, and I believe that's going to be on a pay-per-view because the London card is March 19th, which is 2 weeks after that. Someone asked me on Twitter yesterday, is that still going to go ahead? Apparently so. That is the plan. But we just never know in this time right now, do we? But yeah, no. Exciting. And it'd be a big one for Paddy if he can win that. But and for Cerrone, if he can win that, it's just him saying, life and the old dog yet. You know what I mean? Don't count me out. I've still fucking got it. And I think for Cerrone, if I was him taking that fight, I'd be going in there with a chip on my shoulder. Because I'd be like, I know what you're fucking doing. And trying to use me as a stepping stone for Paddy Pimblett. You know what I mean? So I'd want to go in and fucking, you know, ruin the party, so to speak. That's what makes it a great fight, because they both got a lot of motivation.
And I mean, you know, this is not, you know, a new place for Cerrone to be in, right? I mean, you know, the Rick Stories of the world, Patrick Cote's, Alex Oliveira's, Alex Hernandez, who you already said. I mean, there was a number. It feels like we've been talking about this being near the end for Donald Cerrone, dating back to like 2016 when he was on, you know, that like insane Street Fighter combo, putting guys out with like, you know, the kicks to the body and uppercuts, the Matt Brown fight. Like, you know,
no,
people.
Who was it? The wrestler, the Rick Story. Was
Rick
that
Story?
Rick Story?
Yeah, Rick the Horror Story. To me, the guy's been putting dirt on Donald Cerrone's name for quite some time. So for him to go out there and be like, "Yes, once again, I'm going to kill your fatted calf and stop the next hype train for this guy," I feel like nothing gets him out of bed and excited to train more.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's great motivation, because I think at this point, you know, Cerrone knows he's not fighting for the belt anytime soon. You know what I mean? But if he can go out there and, as you say, very nicely put the fatted calf, you know, calf. If he can go out there and the guy with the hype, you know what I mean? Derail the hype. Say he was on a hype journey. He was on a path to stardom until he fucking hit me. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like it's not what the UFC are doing. It's not their intention. But if I was Donald, I know the way I am. And I know the way that most fighters think. you know, it would feel like a slap in the face. I know what you're doing. I'm not saying this is what the UFC are doing, but that's how they'll take it. They'll say, oh, you're just fucking trying to build this guy's name off my name. All right, well, fuck you. I'm going to show you that what is it? What's the movie? Van Damme. The Van Damme AWOL. Is it an AWOL?
No, I've never seen AWOL.
Oh, I think he might have a different name here. Where?
It Hard to Kill?
No, that's Steven Seagal.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
You know what AWOL?
Lionheart.
Lionheart. Yeah, yeah, it's that called Lionheart it. Here. Lionheart. And then at the end, fucking the black guy with the limbs, like, I put the money on a tiller. I put the money on a tiller.
You should have led with that. I would have known it was Lionheart immediately.
I put the money on, stayed down. And he goes, wrong bet. That's Cerrone, and this is like wrong bet. I put the money on Attila. Oh my god, fucking loved that movie when I was a kid. I loved Van Damme movies. My god.
I do want to make this point though for Cerrone, just real
you
quick.
Put the
on
money
this.
On Attila.
Yes. So they put the money on Mike Perry. They put the money on Alex Hernandez. Then he gets to fight Ally Quinta. Before you know it, in 2018 and 19, Donald Cerrone had a 3-fight win streak, and that got him Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, and Conor McGregor in succession. So while it might not have put him in the title talks, it did certainly, just a 3-fight win streak for him puts him right there fighting top of the food chain guys again.
What am I doing right now?
You're trying to keep it moving, or?
I'm doing the move that Keanu Reeves does only in Matrix Resurrections. I don't know if you saw that shit okay. show of a fucking movie.
I loved
it. And stopping, not the bullets, the Donald Cerrone talk. It's gone on long enough. Okay, we got lots to talk about. Let's talk about that, by the way. Brian, come back on. Did you see Matrix Resurrections?
What a fucking garbage fire that movie was. Whole Mike enjoys it because Mike does not like good things.
That's a great sentence. You enjoy something because you don't like good things. I'm using that one. So excited to watch The Matrix. I love The Matrix.
I watched it the second it came out.
Oh, The Matrix, the first one. What's it called? Just The Matrix. Yeah, The Matrix. Yep. Rebecca bought me that on VHS, 1999. I loved it. I watched it over and over again. It's cool. It was original. It was dark. It was edgy. The soundtrack was awesome. The martial arts, the fight scenes, the choreography were fucking sensational. Second two went off the deep end a little bit. You know what I mean? Got a little convoluted, a little overcomplicated for the fucking sake of it, but I still enjoyed it, even though most of the time I didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. Do you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie, but the first one was genius. This one, I was so excited for it, finally got around to watching it, hated it. Everything about it.
You know how the both of the Wachowskis wrote and directed the first three, right?
But now say that again, because for some reason my phone just spoke to me and Siri just started. Good afternoon, Michael, how can I help you? So you could start by shutting the fuck up when I'm doing a podcast.
So the Wachowskis, formerly the brothers, now the sisters.
Yes.
They wrote and directed both or all three of the original trilogy. And only Lana stuck around for this one. And I have a feeling that Lana is the idea guy. And the other one was actually the writer.
Lady, thank you.
Shut up. Jesus Christ.
but did you – go on. Sorry, Brian. Finish your point.
So all I'm saying is that it was so fucking heavy-handed and the dialogue was so shitty that there was clearly something missing from the equation that was in there for at least the other ones.
Well, there was a lot of things missing. And when you talk about dialogue, Keanu Reeves has no dialogue. Listen, I love Keanu Reeves. I'm a huge fan of his body of work. By all accounts, he's one of the nicest people. You always hear about these random acts of kindness that he's doing for people, you know what I mean? And just carries himself like an average guy when he's one of the biggest movie stars on the fucking planet, which is awesome. It's wholesome to see, you know, but throughout that movie, he just keeps saying, I don't understand. You know what I mean? That's about the longest sentence he says. The other's like, what do you mean you don't understand? You did three movies. You've been through this multiple fucking times. Fight scenes. I got to be careful because I'm trying to work, and this is all a joke. But I thought the choreography was kind of sloppy. You know.
There you go.
And it was all rehashed. It was all the same fucking scenes. You see Matrix 1, you've seen that. Anyway, I don't know.
All the other Matrixes done poorly and in one movie.
Yeah, no, but I was disappointed. And it wasn't just that, it was the tone. The tone of the movie, like that part where all the geeks are sitting around talking about the video game and like, you know, like all the geek girls, they're all gorgeous. They're just gorgeous, but you just stick a pair of glasses on them and they're like a plain Jane. Do you know what I mean? And like, it was kind of comedic. The tone was like a Marvel superhero thing. Whereas the original Matrix was dark. It was like, there was a serious somber tone to it. Fucking like when you went to the real life world, it was fucking dark and bad. And then what the fuck was going on with Jada Pinkett Smith?
She was old. They just didn't put makeup on her.
But why not just use an old person as opposed to getting somebody to talk like this?
I mean, they could have just
get a fucking old person.
Yeah.
Yeah, they replaced Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus. You couldn't replace
the campest Morpheus you've ever fucking seen in your life. Fucking skipping about in a fucking bright purple suit. Morpheus was a fucking badass.
Wish.com Morpheus.
Oh God. Oh.
Dude, you know what I
do two more. I mean, listen, I'll be honest. I enjoyed it because enjoy isn't the right word. I was curious. I watched it. I got through the whole thing. Rebecca wanted to turn it off. I said, no, stop it. I still enjoy it for a bit of nostalgia purposes because I'm a huge fan of The Matrix. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm not sure what got us onto that one.
Dude, you know what drives me crazy? And this goes for this happened in Coming in America.
What grinds your gears?
Yes, what grinds my gears, right?
Tell me.
Every single movie, right, that has like females as main characters. Like, if it's an action movie, there has to be a scene where they beat up, like, 10 dudes.
No, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I've started watching this YouTube page called The Critical Drinker, right? Okay. Amazing. You gotta watch it. He just does, like, breakdowns of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. He's a Scottish guy. He's fucking awesome. His videos are fantastic, and he just highlights fucking the problems with them all. And you're right. Listen, this day and age, we want to see equal opportunities for everybody and all the rest of it. And
of course. Fucking,
and I'm all for it. I really am. But I also want a little bit of realism in my movies. And when you're taking a 90-pound girl who's fucking taking on five or six dudes that weigh 230 pounds and they knock them out with one shot each, it's just like, my brain just says, that's it, I'm done. I can't watch this. This is fucking nonsense.
I watched something last night about this woman, Amanda Serrano, who is like a hardcore badass female boxer.
No, I know Amanda Serrano. She's fucking sensational.
Yeah, dude.
Sensational.
Yeah, no, taking nothing away from her at all. Probably, from what I saw, maybe the best female combat sports athlete of all time, including all the chicks in the UFC. But she fought a dude one time. And do you know what happened when she fought a dude?
Did she get fucked up?
hard body by a dude who like wasn't ranked, fucking Muay Thai fighter from like Australia or some shit, beat the brakes off this girl, and it wasn't even fair.
First of all, who's sanctioning that fight? Secondly, the guy could have taken it easy on her, but that's the problem. That's why I never sparred with women. You know, I didn't. I just had a thing. Number one, I don't want to spar with a woman and call me sexist, call me an old-fashioned pig. I'm really not. I'm trying to get ready for a fight. And I always wanted, when I was in a room and I was sparring, I'd always want the toughest partner because you want to get pushed. And if you go with a woman, obviously, you know, you got to pull it back. You got to tippy-tap-tap-tap. But they're going, whoosh, 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 coming at you 100%, taking liberties. You know what I mean? Don't make me backhand you. You know what I mean? Don't make me do this. You know, so I'm just going to avoid, take myself out of that situation. No. Going back to the thing, yeah. Like when you see a skinny young, like, listen, I get it. It's a bit of fantasy and whatnot. But if it's a movie that's in the tone of it, wants to be taken serious, and I'm seeing a woman take out five guys, you know what I mean? And by the way, the guys have got machine guns. Five guys with machine guns and knives, and a woman with a bare fist is taking them out. And I'm like, I can't do this any longer.
It's never barehanded. It's always a stick. You notice women always have a stick. A woman with a stick cannot be defeated in a movie. She'll like trip a guy and then hit him with the stick and then take his gun and now he's done. Women with sticks are undefeated in movies.
Yeah, but that's
same thing. Maybe she has a sword. Usually they have swords.
But that's the way it's going now, isn't it? All the heroes or heroines, which is great. I like to see everyone getting a crack of the whip, but maybe just write it a little better. You know what I mean? Maybe they could some other way. You know, they don't have to engage in hand-to-hand combat with fucking mercenaries. You know what I mean? I'd have a real hard time with 5 fucking mercenaries, right? Not bragging. I'm a pretty tough guy. I can look after myself. I'd favor myself against most people on planet fucking Earth. 5 mercenaries? I'm on my bike. I'm running like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck this. I'm done. Give me the car keys or the fucking card, what I need for a Tesla. And I'm accelerating out of there with no sound whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Chael Sonnen would have fought those 5 guys.
Oh! Yeah, but they weren't mercenaries. They were pussies. Mm-hmm. They were pussies, Brian. Where was I going with that, though? Oh, who cares? We've said our piece. All right, what's up, all you do-it-yourself guys who work on your own cars? I'm here to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. So no more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts. They're not really sure what you're looking for, and they never have quite what you need. And then after all that hassle, they still charge you the storefront markups. At RockAuto.com, you can easily find everything you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or you just work on your own car, everybody has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So listen, if you you like to work on your car at the weekend, you're opening up the hood, as they say. I'll get slapped off all the English people for saying that. We say bonnet. If you know your way around a car, if you want to learn, if you want parts, you want to fucking tinker with some spanners at the weekend, rockauto.com is where you need to go, because they have literally everything that you need. And if you know about the pricing, you will be amazed when you go to rockauto.com, because it is so goddamn cheap. And by the way, no promo code, because the pricing is already that good. Now, when you order, please make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them right here on the Believe You Me podcast. One more time, rockauto.com for the cheap car parts conveniently sent to you. I don't know how big they are, but rockauto.com will have you, and you'll be blown away by the prices. Anyway, let's get back into it. Where were we? What else we got, Harrington?
Let's see here. We are almost an hour into this show. Do you want to start going through the categories by any chance for the BYM Awards?
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. I'll bring them up so you know. So obviously, guys, it is the end of the year. And it is kind of like old hat at this point. Everyone does this, but we're also going to do it. So there you go.
There's no UFC events for a month. We're doing this.
Exactly. We need content. We need to discuss, things to talk about, to fucking get used to it. So Fighter of the Year. And I think, so our nominations, and we want to hear from you, Brian. Harrington, you're going to handle the Twitter poll.
On it.
Which means it's not going to get done. Great.
Oh, stop that.
Yeah. So the choices are Rose Namajunas, Juliana Pena, Kamaru Usman, Charles Oliveira, Valentina Shevchenko, Cyril Garn, Bilal Mohammed, and Islam Makhachev. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to say there's too many choices there.
Yeah. So
that's a long list.
It's a long list.
I love the way Brian just comes in like that. What we're going to do is we're going to eradicate. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're going to eradicate that down to 4 right now. Okay. Right
Hell
now.
Yes.
Between the three of us. Rose Namajunas, 2-0 this year. She stays in. Juliana Pena, 2-0. She doesn't stay in. Listen, did she go 2-0 this year?
Yeah.
I know she beat Nunes. Who else did she beat?
I'm not gonna put a loss on anybody who I cannot confirm. I'm just pulling up her thing right now. Was it Sarah McMahon?
No, it was Sarah McMahon.
Sarah McMahon.
Sarah McMahon and Amanda Nunes. Nunes is the big one. I don't know. It just for me. Kamaru Usman 3-0, sensational fucking year, pound for pound, the top of the list. You cannot not have that guy in the discussion. Cyril Gane, oh God, Shevchenko 2-0, Cyril Gane 3-0. Bilal Muhammad, love Bilal, love Bilal. I don't think he's in contention for Fighter of the Year. So I'm making an executive decision. I'm sorry. I'm doing it. Bilal's gone. Remember the name, though. Islam Makhachev. I think he stays. Oh, God, Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane. We'll take Cyril out. We'll take Cyril out because he's fighting next week or next month. Lots to talk about there. Charles Oliveira, he has to be in there. Come on.
Certainly.
He has to be in. Well, I'll give you my four. You give your four. Brian, you give your four. Okay? I say Usman, Oliveira, Makhachev. Namajunas. Go ahead.
So when I did the, I actually sent you like my four whittled down. I have Rose, Juliana, Usman, and Oliveira.
It's a very 50-50 list you got there. Brian? Two and two, even Stevens.
Okay,
equal opportunities, you know?
Sure.
So me and Mike actually talked about this when we were breaking down the list, and I think those four are pretty fair to say, except for I would probably take out Rose and put Cyril Gane because he won at least half a title this year, and Rose has won a title before this year.
Yeah, no, you're right, and that does hold some merit, but still, okay, well, you put out the Twitter poll on that one, Harrington. Fight of the Year, Holloway Rodriguez, Gagey Chandler, Costa Vittori, Volkanovski Ortega, Reyes Prohaska, Ponzinibbio Baeza, Sandhagen Jan, Burgos Barboza. Okay? And that is not a crazy language I'm speaking, Burgos Barboza. I mean, Jesus Christ. Those first three, four, five, six, yeah. They're all good. Yeah. They were amazing fights. Holloway Rodriguez has to be in there.
Sure.
Gagey versus Chandler has to be in there. I mean, that's going to be a front runner for the fight of the year.
Between those two.
Paulo Costa, Marvin Vittori. Fucking hell. Oh, shout out Marvin Vittori, by the way. I was with him on
Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Christmas Eve.
Hell yeah.
Maybe that's where we picked up the Rona. Who knows? Then we went to this beautiful restaurant, Quattro, South Coast Plaza. Shout out Domenico. And Marvin was there, sat with us. We had some wine. We had some food. Great guy. Anyway, that was a sick fight, though, he had with Paulo Costa. That was fucking ridiculous.
Absolutely incredible.
Volkanovski Ortega. I mean.
I think that's my pick for fight of the year, maybe. That was.
It's an embarrassment of riches. That's the problem. They're all so good.
Yeah, absolutely incredible list to fight this year's. And then, you know, you haven't even gotten to, in my mind, what all four are the also-rans. Reyes Prohaska, Ponzinibbio Baeza, Sandhagen Jan, and Burgos first.
Ponzinibbio Baeza, do you know what I mean? Flies under the radar because both guys, they're not the, you know, it's not a Holloway or it's not a Gagey Chandler who the lightweight division, they've very much been in the limelight this year, but Ponzinibbio and Miguel Baeza, that was a sick fight. Anyway, so I'll allow you to put that on Twitter. Knockout of the year, Kamar Usman of Masvidal, Rose head kicking Zhang, Sandhagen flying Frankie, Balmonde spinning wheel kick Roosevelt Robs, Ngannou knocking out Stipe, Prohaska spinning elbow in Reyes, Derek Lewis uppercutting Curtis Blaydes into next year, and Dustin Poirier becoming the first man to knock out McGregor in January. Is that the first time McGregor got knocked out, even though he swears he wasn't knocked out?
Yeah, I believe every one of his other defeats was either decision or submission.
Yes, sir. I think this is an easy choice, to be honest. It's Jiří Prochazka knocking fucking Dominic Reyes's head right off of his shoulders.
Well, that it just gets fucking style points as well, doesn't it? It was a double elbow attack.
Really does.
That's the one being a spinning elbow. And Jiří Prochazka is just fucking awesome, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
He's a maniac. I love that dude.
I love it. And it was funny because when we had on Rakic, I think he was trying to... Was he alluding to the fact that he thinks it's all a bit of an act from...
Prochazka?
He's not actually like a lunatic?
Yeah, well, no, he was saying, you know, he claims to be a samurai and this and that, but it's all just, I think he's, am I imagining this? He said something along those lines, right?
I feel like there's something lost in translation there, right? Like, I don't think Yuri actually thinks he's a sword-carrying samurai.
I don't believe that Yuri thinks that he's a samurai from 700 years ago in Japan with a katana blade, walking around with a kimono on, slaying people with a samurai sword.
A lot of illusion going on, and not everybody's picking it up.
Yeah, no, I think he's trying to say he lives by the samurai code, which again, just look that up. What is the
definition of the samurai code?
Oh. Because a lot of people say, I live by that code. So right, what is the samurai code? Because I guarantee they fucking don't.
It's called Bushido.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bushido, the way of the warrior.
Exactly.
So I have Rakic's quote here. About Yuri, I cannot take this clown seriously. You know, I don't care about him. My focus is on Jan Blachowicz and March 26, and I don't care about this guy. He did say, though, for sure I'm going to fight him in the future. We're both young. We're at the top of the division. He's going to probably fight against Glover. I still don't know when they're going to fight. I don't care, basically. But for sure, we're going to fight someday. But for now, close the book on the guy. I don't care about him and the fake samurai shit that he's doing and just focusing on Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, there it is, the fake samurai shit. Okay, so I totally like just added bits on through my own imagination. But hey, it's a podcast. We're trying to fill time. Let's go. Submissione of the year, Fluffy Hernandez, Rodolfo Vieira. Guillotine, just more shock value, really, that one. Marquez over Maki Pitolo. Yes, Brian?
Oh, I was just coming in for this.
Yeah, no, please, please, stay. You're welcome. Mikasa Tsukasa, even appreciate though you're it. In control. Vincente Luque d'Ors over Woodley. Andre Muniz breaking Jacare's arm. Mateus Gamrot beating Jeremy Stevens. That was a Kimura. Brandon Moreno choking out Figueiredo for the gold. Pena over Amanda Nunes. And Islam arm triangle from half guard. Yeah, against Drew Dober, which is weird.
I think this is another easy pick.
I'm eradicating off the bat Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm being a hater on Juliana there. I'm not. What she did this year was incredible, and God bless her, and I'm really happy for her. I don't know her, you know what I mean? But how could you not be happy for her? Such an underdog to come through like that and do so well. But from a submission standpoint, from a technical standpoint, that submission wasn't shit. You know what I mean? Exactly. It's because she was tired. Nunes was exhausted, and she was tired because Pena made her tired, because Pena put a pace in her, because Pena beat her up. You know what I mean? That's why she was so exhausted and looking for a way out. But the hooks weren't in. It was, you know, she capitalized on the sequence of events, on her being tired and her being beat up and the doubt creeping in. But it wasn't like a jiu-jitsu purist would look at that and go, wow, that's the submission of the year.
Well, here's the thing. Juliana Pena came out this week, right, and defended what she calls her not regular rear naked choke and dares anyone to try and stand up to her. She says, that's the second time I finished the fight with that rear naked choke. I finished Sarah McMahon with it in January. It's something that is not a regular rear naked choke. I know a lot of people want to discredit me, but people say that I didn't have my hooks in, it wasn't real, and she just tapped because she quit. I guarantee you, maybe one day you can take me up on this, or any of your listeners, if any of them want to come to my house and let me put that choke on you, I guarantee that you're going to tap as well, and I guarantee they'll be able to feel that force and pressure that I was putting on Amanda.
I guarantee you did a GoFundMe. We did a GoFundMe for either one of you to go to Juliana Pena's house. You would be very up to go and be choked out by Juliana.
I volunteer as tribute. I will.
Merry Christmas, guys, because I'm fucking your plane tickets to fucking wherever it is, Washington, I think, Spokane or somewhere like that. She trains.
Dude, that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, no, listen, of course she's going to defend that. Maybe she does. Maybe she does finish people like that. She looks to be very strong, you know. But as I say, and then God bless, maybe it's modified. And it's weird because martial arts is like that. Certain things that don't look like they work, for some reason, some people, they just work. You know, like, look at it's a legit technique, but what's he called? Is it Alexander Olenek? Who has
The Ezekiel.
Alexi Olenek with the Ezekiel. He's got about fucking 5,000 Ezekiel chokes. Do you know what I mean? You're not supposed to get that many.
It's wild.
OSP with the Von Prue choke, they call it.
The Von Prue. Do you see, you know what I mean? Certain people just have a way of making certain positions work for them, and they can do it. You know what I mean? But still, that ain't the sub of the year, but still, whittle it down.
I think this is a pretty easy one as well. Amanda Nunes with the reverse mounted triangle. I think that gets Megan Anderson. It. Yeah, on Megan Anderson.
Hold on, is that on that?
It's not. I put it on for when I sent you like the revised list. So I'll put that.
We're not saying. All right. Okay. Breakthrough fighter of the year, Julian Marquez. I'm just gonna say no. Islam Makhachev.
Maybe.
I'm gonna say potentially. Bilal Muhammad had a great year. Definitely more at the forefront of people's names. By the way, I wasn't dismissing Julian Marquez, but I just looking at the names on this list, he wouldn't be at the top of it. No disrespect. Erin Blanchfield. You can tell Harriet has done this list. Is Macy Barber on there as well? Any girl that fucking Harrington has the half hots for, he just sticks them in there.
Okay.
Right? I mean, whoa, that sounded weird.
Pretty good year.
Anyway, Erin Blanchfield, Tom Aspinall. I think, how many fights did Tom have this year? Was it two or three?
I believe it was two for Tom.
Three?
I think it was two. Let me double check.
Yeah, no, I think it's only two. Sergei Spivak in there, and might have been Arlovsky as well.
And Arlovsky, yeah, back in February.
Cyril Garn, of course. Juliana Pena, absolutely. Chris Curtis. I mean, Chris Curtis came out of the blue, and he finished the last two months in fucking style. Two great knockouts, November and December concurrently, so consecutively. Yeah, tough one that. Off the top of my head, though, Islam Makhachev, he's got to be a front runner for that one. This time next year, last year. I don't think we're all singing his praises quite as much as we are now.
Mm-hmm. What about Khamzat?
Oh.
Well,
oh,
I would consider last year his breakthrough year.
Oh, no, you're right. He probably got it last year, to be fair.
Yeah, probably. I mean, well, no, I think it was between him and Kevin Holland last year. Khamzat had the three wins last year. Kevin Holland had four or five, I want to say. Something insane like that.
So. I'm assuming Khamzat is in the performance of the year, though. One would like to think. Anyway, moving on. Best comeback nominations. Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. Great comeback. Anthony Hernandez versus Rodolfo Vieira. Alice Caceres versus Song Won Choi. Clay Guida versus Leonardo Santos. Gerald Mayorkas versus Mahmoud Mirudov. Mirab Dvalishvili versus Marlon Moraes. Kennedy Njikui versus Carlos Ulberg. And Julian Marquez versus Maki Patolo. That's my reading out nominations for the Golden Globes voice. Okay,
that works. I mean,
new voiceovers for the next episode.
Yeah. Oh, what's this made up nonsense at the bottom of the list, Harrington? The Jorge Masvidal Resurrection Award.
I literally said that to you.
No. This is joke. Guy.
What is this nonsense?
What the fuck is this? Liberties being taken all over the place. Okay. Know your place. Don't make me beat you back into your place. Harrington?
Wouldn't be that hard. I'm not making you do anything. I think that it is cool. We've had the Michael Bisping Spirit Award since the inception of this. We added the.
It should still be the Michael Bisping Spirit Award.
There is. That is on here. I mean, wasn't going to hit you up for your own award. That seems crazy. We have the Luke Rockhold Conceive, Believe, Achieve Award. And to me, it made the most sense to add the Jorge Masvidal Resurrection Award for the fighter that resurrected their career the most this year.
All right. Well, I like your explanation, and it's a worthy award category.
All right.
The nominations are Clay Guida, Julian Marquez, Glover Teixeira, Ricky Glenn, Misha Tate, Chris Curtis, Gerald Mayorkas, and Jose Aldo. resurrected your career. Do you have anyone else, Brian, that should have been in that one? Who's resurrected their career? There's been some good resurrectionis. Some people coming back from the brink of disaster and just cuttery and retired.
Jose Aldo? He's on there.
Yeah, that's pretty much who I got in my head for this. I mean, I thought he was going to be all the way out last year.
Yeah, it's amazing what Aldo's doing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It's wild.
Never, you know, count that man out. Life in the old dog yet.
I got one that I didn't put on here, but I feel like should be getting some consideration. What about the blonde one, Derek Brunson?
Hey, blonde Brunson has been on fire. Well, how many wins this year? I know he had Till. He had Edmund Shahbazyan.
Till and Kevin Holland were this year. Shahbazyan was last year.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, certainly with the wins over Holland and Till, this is a guy who, you know, was looked at for a long time, you know, I hate to use this phrase, but as a gatekeeper. And now, you know, he's certainly within the mix fighting, if I'm not mistaken, Jared Cannonier, who's ranked number three in the division. So
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Okay. That's the nominations. Put them on Twitter. We'll come back with the results on Monday. Put some polls up. And I guess in the meantime...
With Macy Barber in it, which is hottest female fighter, because
we do normally do that. We do normally do that. As this world is becoming more and more and more and more and more and more woke, it's fucking ridiculous. Sex is pigs and will be called. I don't give a fuck. Chuck it in there.
Hey, we're doing men too.
Yeah, we do men too.
Oh, sexy. Who are we having in the sexiest men category? Harrington. Who are the men that immediately come to your mind?
So Michael Bisping,
Brian, who floats your boat?
Well, Paul Acosta, right? The ladies like Paul Acosta.
He's a handsome devil. Did you see how Paul Acosta was in the news recently? Not the news. It was all over his Instagram. I think it might have made TMZ or something. He was thrown off a flight. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. It was on his Instagram. He got thrown off a plane and he was sitting in the terminal waiting for the next one. He was going on. He's talking about suing the airline and stuff like that. Claims he didn't do anything wrong.
Kind of reminds me of somebody else I know.
History tells me there's no smoke without fire. No. Hey, fuck off. You talking about me?
What? I mean, you know, maybe Paulo Costa ran into the guy with the Oakleys. You don't know.
Yeah, it was fuck that guy, number one. And I'm still waiting to hear back from Southwest Airlines. Still, because they called me up. Southwest Airlines called me up and they said, yeah, we're taking this matter very serious. And I said to them, I said, well, yeah, do me a favor. I said, number one, don't tell me that there's not cameras at the boarding the check-in area. Don't tell me that. None of the check-in, where you board the plane. The gate.
Yeah.
I said, don't tell me there's not a camera there, okay? Because I know for a fact, for security, there will be a camera, okay? I said, and then look at that. As you will see that I said to him, nice shades. I like the way you're on your head. I said, and then he threw me off. I said, I'm willing to pay for a lip reading expert. That's what I said. I said, I am not lying. I'm not exaggerating. That's what I said. And he chose to throw me off a plane. Okay. I said, so, oh, don't you worry, sir. But this was about 6 weeks ago. Now he never called me back. Thank you for reminding me. If anybody knows a good lip reading expert out there, hit me up on Twitter. Hey, it's New Year's Eve tomorrow. By the time this comes out, it will be New Year's Eve. I hope everybody goes out there, has a glorious time, whatever you do. Enjoy yourself, be happy, spend your time with loved ones, and make 2022 count. You know, that is my advice to everyone. Go out there, enjoy yourself. If you want to make yourself a better version of yourself, I do. I'm making some big changes in my life. We all do. And listen, people scoff at New Year's resolutions all the time. You know, people scoff at them. I don't know fucking why. At least you got the intentions. At least you want to make yourself a little bit better. At least you realize in some, because I do. I know I've got plenty of fucking shortcomings and lots of areas in my life where I need to improve. And now every year I say, okay, I'm going to try and make some changes, you know, and maybe you fail. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you fall at the first fucking hurdle. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. But all I'm saying is I'm trying to stop drinking in the new year. I'm having a beer for the Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve show. But lots of other things. But we'll talk about that on the next one, because I'm sure, Harrington, don't tell me that you've got nothing that you want to improve.
Dude, my life, look at where I was a year ago and look at where I'm at now, man. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and certainly I feel like I took the ball and ran with it this year. So
No, you've done fantastic, man. It has been incredible to watch you grow, and you've done a fantastic job as co-host on here. Brian, as well, I want to thank you as well. Show yourself on the screen
for
another tremendous year doing the Believe You Me podcast. Wouldn't be the same without you guys. Of course, the believers as well. But Brian, what would you say? You hear... you hear me? Listen, you know, I've done all right in life. I'm sitting here. I'm being humble. I'm saying I need to change many things. I need to get better. I need to grow as a person on the inside, on the outside. We can all evolve. We can all get better. But there's fucking Hamilton proclaiming to be the perfect male, the perfectly evolved human. What do you say to that, Brian?
I feel like our text message threads would say something different than that. but that's okay. I appreciate the work that he does when he does it correctly. Yeah, I'm just fucking with you. He does a pretty good job. I think Mike's all right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on that note, we'll say goodbye. But Brian and Harrington, want to thank you personally for all your hard work, your effort. All you believers out there, thank you for continuing to support the show. It means a lot to all of us. And we will be back on Monday with the first show of 2022. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your New Year's Eve. All the best. Until then, fuck off.